Johnny O. It's Johnny O. It's the only Johnny O show.
Hi, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning into the show today. I am Johnny O, your intrepid host, and welcome to Season 2 of The Johnny O Show. Thank you so much for your patience while we get Season 2 up and running, where we're going to be highlighting many of the same theaters, these great regional theaters in Connecticut that I highlighted last season. That would include Goodspeed Musicals, Hartford Stage, The Bushnell, and ACT of Connecticut, among others, and of course all the great things going on down on the Great White Way in New York. So I can't wait to talk with all of those great guests for this season. On this first episode, I'm welcoming back Daniel Levine from ACT of Connecticut. That's a contemporary theater of Connecticut, a wonderful new venue who is having such a strong opening so far. So far, they put on Mamma Mia, Evita, which was just mind-blowing. I just absolutely loved it beginning of this season. So this is their second production of their new season, and it is Working by Stephen Schwartz, which was actually a collaborative musical that he put together. But we're going to let Daniel Levine tell you all about it. So without any further ado, here he is. Glad to have back for my second season of the Johnny O Show, Mr. Daniel Levine. And he is here to talk once again about a contemporary theater of Connecticut. That's ACT of CT, the winner of Broadway World's Regional Awards for Best of Equity Theater of the Year. Congratulations, Daniel.
Thanks. That was a pretty exciting thing for us, just being in our very first season to win that award. So we've just got such great support and fans, and this community has just been so welcoming and amazing. We're so appreciative.
Yeah, a great feather in your cap and your team down there at ACT. Just to recap, anybody that is still not familiar with them, a great new venue down in Ridgefield, Connecticut. I saw Evita down there, was totally blown away. Daniel was the director of that show, so I can't wait to hear and see what he's got all set for Working, a musical. Of course, Stephen Schwartz's name attached to that. But if we back up a little bit, Daniel, your Broadway Unplugged series, last one you had, November 30th, with Lindsay Mendez, how did it go?
Oh, it was great. You weren't there, were you?
I couldn't make it, no.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. For those people that might not know, Lindsay Mendez, of course, this year she won the Tony Award for Carousel.
Yes.
She was in Elphaba and Wicked, lots of Broadway credits, and just really such a remarkable actor and voice, and one of the best female musical theater performers that we have right now. But her show was terrific, and she, along with Brian Perry, who is the conductor of Wicked on Broadway, the two of them, and Brian's, of course, our resident music supervisor here at ACT of Connecticut. But the two of them, I mean, you know, the point of that series is really Brian's series, and it's for him to bring some of his very famous, very talented Tony Award-winning friends from Manhattan to perform here for Ridgefield and Fairfield County audiences, but it's not just a concert. It's really a little bit of a behind the scenes thing. It's a get to know the actor and understand where he or she came from and their struggles and how they became, you know, the Tony Award winning performer that they are. And it's, the audiences just love it. It's great. So it's a night of fantastic song, but also really wonderful story. It's really fun.
He must have a ton of names in his back pocket that he's just ready to call up and see if they're available for a night, huh?
Yeah, in fact, if any of your listeners ever Google For Good, you know, Wicked For Good, and then that Idina Menzel, Kristen Chenoweth video that was made just a couple of years ago comes up. Brian is that's the guy that you see playing the piano right
there.
Nice. So the song For Good from Wicked. But yeah, he's got a lot of very fancy New York Broadway friends for sure.
Do you already have another special guest lined up for a date?
Not yet. Brian is currently in rehearsals for two shows, actually. One is a show that opens in New York in just a few weeks called Superhero, which is at Second Stage. Brian's the music director and conductor for that. And he's also rehearsing with Alanis Morissette for her new Broadway musical called The Jagged Little Pill. So Brian's, and of course, we start working rehearsals Monday, and then we open February 15th. So I feel like it's not going to happen until probably April. Right. And we're thinking about who we want, and so we just have to line that up. You know, it gets crazy. You know, somebody might commit, and then of course they get a show, and so it's hard to advertise that kind of thing or reveal who that star is going to be, because it might change just because of people's show schedules.
Now, is Brian the musical director for Working?
He's not, like I said, because he's doing Superhero and Alanis' Jagged Little Pill, he's not able to do Working. So we have another fantastic Broadway music director named Dan Pardo. He is he's wonderful, and he is the guest music director for this. But of course, Brian is our music supervisor. So any, right. He's still a part of the process, but the day-to-day and the conductor of the show will be Dan Pardo.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is if he's fitting in the Alanis Morissette show, this musical Superhero, and trying to fit in Working, you know, which is nearly a full month-long production, he's going to be really thinly spread.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of work, yeah.
So you decided to go with Stephen Schwartz's Working, and if memory serves, the last time we spoke, Stephen is part of your board of directors?
Yes, more Stephen is one of our artistic advisors, really. Yeah. We have a board of artistic advisors. Stephen was the first and is actively involved with this theater, ACT of Connecticut. But we also have Lindsay Mendez, who we just talked about, is also one of our artistic advisors. My very good friend, Christian Borrell, who is a Tony Award winner, is one of our artistic advisors. Alan Menken, who wrote, you know, many, many shows, Little Shop of Horrors, et cetera. Yeah. Is also one of them, but yeah, Stephen has just been so instrumental in our success that we really wanted to honor him, and so we created a series called the Presenting Stephen Schwartz series, where one of our musicals, and you know, we do three musicals per season, so three musicals per year. One of those three musicals will be a dedicated Stephen Schwartz show for the first three or four seasons. So this being our very first full season, of course, we wanted to do one of his shows, and Working is a show that I've always been very, very attracted to and interested in, and so that's why we chose that.
When you look at Stephen Schwartz's resume, we all think of course, Godspell, Wicked, Pippin. Working is one of those shows that so many people are not familiar with, so it's going to be an interesting choice for you guys to see if just Stephen's name is the big draw, or just the fact that we know the quality work that ACT puts out, so we're going to go see anything they put on that stage. But this was an interesting choice.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice. Not a ton of theaters present or produce Working. There was a very successful run of it last year in London. But I chose it for very specific reasons. First of all, it's one of the Broadway scores that got me interested in musical theater. I used to listen to that score when I was young, and not really even understanding the lyrics, but the melodies and the just the whole feeling of the score really spoke to me. And I, you know, Stephen did something very, very interesting. He, of course, as you just said, he wrote Wicked, and he wrote Pippin, and he wrote Godspell. And yes, he wrote Working, but what he decided to do is to not write the whole thing by himself. As you might know, that Working is a musical based on the book that Studs Terkel wrote. I think it was in 1974, where Studs Terkel, who's a very famous Chicago radio personality, an interview, you know, like a Johnny Carson type of thing, you know, like he was [S2] Yeah. [S1] A big interview personality. He interviewed, so Studs Terkel interviewed a lot of, like, many, many, many workers, and then wrote this book about the American workforce and people's struggles and belief systems and dreams and hopes and their personal devastations, things like that. And he put this in this fantastic and fascinating book, as I said, in the early 70s. And Stephen became very, very interested in that book and spoke to Studs Terkel and said, I'd like to make a musical of this book. And Studs Terkel was very enthusiastic and said, go for it. And then Stephen started writing the thing. And of course, Stephen is such a skilled and gifted lyricist and composer. But there were characters in the show, like, for example, there's a black housekeeper in the show. And as Stephen was writing for this particular character, he thought to himself, like, you know, there might be somebody that could tell this story, even musically, better than I can, because he doesn't really have that experience of the quote black experience, right? And so Stephen then reached out to other people that maybe were closer to the characters that the show is about. And there's 26 characters in Working.
Oh, wow.
So Stephen reached out to people like James Taylor and Craig Carnelia and Mary Rogers, Richard Rogers' granddaughter, and all these like fascinating, fantastic composers. And so the score is really written by, yes, Stephen wrote a lot of the songs for the show, but then you're going to also hear a James Taylor song that you've probably heard on the radio before because it was also on one of James Taylor's albums. You're going to hear, you're going to hear a song by Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton, Tony Award winner Hamilton, that Lin contributed. There's a song that he wrote about a delivery boy, and it's a Latino delivery boy, and Stephen thought, who better to write this than a Latino young composer? And so years ago, before Hamilton, Stephen asked Lin to write this song. So it's a very interesting thing that Stephen did in allowing other composers to write this. And so I again, to go back to your question, I was always very consumed and fascinated by the score and by all the different styles within this musical. But what I wasn't really interested in doing is just sort of remounting the 1976 production of Working. And not that it feels dated, but some of the material, some of the content in the book, in the script of the show, of the musical, does feel like slightly 1970s. You know, for example, where some of the language feels that way, or, yeah. You know, there's an operator, you know, when you used to have like a dial telephone and you would dial zero for, you know, for help. It's like, and those things just don't really happen anymore. And so I had this idea, which I brought to Stephen, to kind of update the script. But more than that, I wanted to better understand what I was going to be directing. And since I'm directing Working, and some of the characters in Working, as I said before, there's a black housekeeper, there is a housewife, there is a factory worker, there is a delivery boy, there's a waitress, all these different things that I don't have experience with, and I don't have really knowledge about what those people do, and I wanted to really better understand. Like when I directed Evita, I became obsessed with Eva Perón and Juan Perón. I went to Buenos Aires. I went to her grave. I went to the cemetery, Recoleta. I immersed myself in Evita and Eva Perón. And I wanted to do the same thing for Working. And so I started to talk to local Ridgefield workers. The person that bags my groceries at Stop and Shop, the pharmacist in back of the register at CVS, the guy up on a telephone pole cutting trees, branches away from telephone, from the wires, so we don't lose power. Like, I wanted to understand all these people, really just for research. And what I started realizing is that, like, their stories are, like, so completely fascinating and, again, heartbreaking and enthusiastic and optimistic, and there's just so many adjectives to describe these people. And then I went back to Studs Terkel's original book and saw that he had the same experience that I was having when I was conducting these interviews. And so I went to Stephen Schwartz and I said, would you be opposed if we kind of removed some of these original professions from the script? And can I insert some of these local Ridgefield people and some of these new workers? And Stephen was like, I love that idea. Yeah. And so then I really had to start getting into these interviews. And you know, originally, when I first started interviewing these people, it was me basically with them at their job, just asking them questions. But what I needed to do is now write the script to the show. And so I actually called them into a recording studio where I would, 12 to 15 people probably, where I asked them, had, you know, an hour and a half long conversation about their jobs and their lives and their families and their, you know, what do they want to be when they were kids, and are they where they want to be now, and just things like that. And it was like completely fascinating. And then I transcribed their words, and it was hundreds and hundreds of pages. And I figured out the parts that I wanted in the show. And then I thought, God, do I really want our live actors pretending to be these people? And I thought, no, I want to hear these authentic voices. So again, I went to Steven Schwartz and I said, okay, here's my idea. I want to somehow incorporate these voices of these new interviews, of these people, of these local Ridgefield, Fairfield County workers into your existing show working. So it would be a mix of these audio recordings of these people. Maybe I'll also videotape them and get some great footage, and alongside with the live actors and this sort of multimedia really cool thing. And Steven loved the idea and said, go for it and do it. And then I hired this camera crew and some drones and some Steadicams and got all this incredible, really film, movie quality film of these jobs. And that will be part of our set. That will be really, it sort of acts as the narrator to the show. So it's this really, so why do people want to come see Working? People want to come see Working, yes, because it's Steven Schwartz, because it's a brand new world premiere version of his show, because it is now set in Ridgefield, Connecticut, wow. Because you are going to see people that you see every day. If you, you know, live in Ridgefield or around here, you're going to see people in the show that you see every day. And it's a very, very cool, new, brand new concept to the show, this multimedia event that has never been done before. And so if you, you know, for all those reasons, and plus Steven thinks that there is life after ACT for this production, for Working. And so if you want to see something that might be seen somewhere else at another time, now is your chance. So that's why I think people should come see this show. That's a long answer, isn't it?
No, it's perfect. And you know what? You did answer some of the questions that I had in my head. But Daniel, this is so much, and forgive the pun, but that's a lot of work that you are already. This is like extra work that you are putting into this. But it's so impressive that you were, you know, you had this idea and that Steven went along with it. Do you think the fact that your friends, you know, that he was more open to it instead of just, you know, some, you know, random, you know, regional theater reached out to him, you think that maybe played a role? And plus, he's a local himself.
Yeah, he's lived in Ridgefield for 40 years. And yes, I think that, you know, because we are friends and because we've worked together on projects before, I've directed for him before, that I, you know, I know that he trusts my ideas and my instincts, and that I'm not, yes, it's a ton of work, and I haven't slept really in 3 months, but he knows that I will not sleep until it's perfect. And so I don't think that he has anything to, you know, to really worry about. I'm so excited about this show. And you know, what people ask me the same question that you asked me before about, you know, if it was regular, like if you went to Steven Schwartz and it wasn't me because we're friends, would he have allowed it? The answer is really no. I mean, like, for example, when we did Evita, just so people understand, when a professional theater wants to do a show, you have to contact the licensing agency of that whoever represents that particular show. So in Evita's case, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber's estate, essentially, MTI, that licenses Evita. So you have to fill out all these applications and say, you know, when we want to do the show, where, how much to take. Ticket prices are blah 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 blah, and they will come back to you and say, okay, you cannot do our show because another theater is doing it 100 miles away and that's too close, or nope, you can't do our show because it's on tour right now and we don't want to compete because it's going to go to Boston, say, or they will say, yeah, you can absolutely do our show, and it's going to cost you $45,000 for your 1 month run of Evita. And you then sign a contract, and in that contract, it is very clear that you are not able to change one word from the script. You can't change one lyric. You cannot rearrange the songs. You cannot decide to make Ava Perone a man. You cannot, like, just different things like that. The show is as it is given to you. You are not allowed to make any changes to it, or you will be sued, fined, and the production will be closed down. So it is not every day that a existing Broadway musical like Working is allowed to be toyed with and altered and quote updated or reimagined. And so it's a really very, very cool experience for me to be able to do this with Steven, but also for our community, our theater community here that's able to witness this thing. It's a unique experience that doesn't happen very often.
It's fantastic, and I'm really curious, with these local workers that you reached out to, how receptive were they to now find out that they are going to be part of this production?
It's funny. They 90% of them were completely excited and like had so much to say, and their interviews were amazing. I would say that 5% of them were very nervous, and the interviews were challenging, and it took a lot to get them to open up and to reveal and to let me inside of their lives. And eventually they did. And then the other 5%, I wasn't able to get permission to do it. Like, for example, I had interviewed a post office employee, and it was a great, great interview, and I really wanted her to appear in the show, but the U.S. Postal Service wouldn't allow it. So you know, it's this is what happens. We had to, of course, get people to sign releases and all of that, and it's as expected, these things happen. But really, the 12 people that made the show, that you know, that actually are going to be in the show, I think that their stories are the best anyhow, and it's a great sort of cross section of this town, of this region. I think that a lot of different people are represented in the people that they will see.
You know what this kind of reminds me of on a smaller scale is when Clint Eastwood came out with that movie, I think it was last year, about the terror attack on that train in Paris, and he decided he cast the actual guys that stopped the terrorist attack.
That's right. I remember seeing that interview. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's almost where I thought you were going with this, was I have this idea and I'm going to cast these actual, you know, workers, the guys on the road and up on the power lines and the person bagging groceries. But I know probably for equity rules, you couldn't do that, but that's where my mind went. But this is still kind of in that same venue, you know?
You know, I was working on the Playbill today, you know, the program that people get when they enter the theater. And yes, those local Ridgefield workers are as prominent in the Playbill as the Broadway stars that star in the show are. So, yeah.
The other cool thing about this is you may have just opened up an entirely new line of people, people to come and support your theater, because, you know, maybe these people have never really been into theater, but now that they're going to be part of it, this might ignite something in them to become a lifelong patron. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think so too. I think that people, you know, I think that the guy up in the power lines probably, I mean, I know because I've spoken to him, but isn't that interested in seeing theater. And of course he will come, as will his company, as will his friends and neighbors. And yes, they will see something that they probably have never seen before, and hopefully return. You know, the tricky thing about it is getting the message out about this show. It's like, you know, Mamma Mia was an easy sell, right? Because
right.
That was our first show. It was, you know, and we chose that very strategically to be our first show because it's a well-known title. So that was easy. Evita, same thing. Working is a little bit more challenging because some people have never heard of it. And most people know who Stephen Schwartz is, but not everybody. So I knew that this would be a bit of a tricky thing. And it's just a little hard getting the message out about how this reimagined thing is happening. But I do think, you know, as soon as I talk about this, like on your show, or I just did an article in the Ridgefield paper, people, you know, as soon as people realize what's happening, ticket sales go up, because it's an exciting thing for people to see and to witness and to be a part of. It's just about getting the point across, right, and getting the word out that
this
thing is actually happening in our town.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit about the show itself, Daniel, that people are not familiar with. This isn't a story like a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's a series of vignettes, right?
It's a series of vignettes about, as I said earlier, about different people's lives and professions. But everything is strung together. There is a through line in the thing, and every vignette, like, they're not just random things that happen. It's like the second vignette happens because the first one did. And then the third vignette happens because perhaps that character was the mother of the person that was speaking in the second vignette.
Oh, cool.
So I found a way to really weave the whole thing together. So it really is a cohesive story, even though every character has their own moment and really their own song. So there's a through line through the whole thing. But yes, it's what we call like a documentary style musical. Chorus Line was very similar to that, right? Chorus Line.
Yes.
Yes, it had a through line, right? It was about these dancers and these dancers that were auditioning for a show and their struggles. But every character in Chorus Line, we learn about each person, right? And the way that Chorus Line was created was very similar to how Working was created. It was the writer of the choreographer of Chorus Line sitting in a room with dancers, his friends, in a studio on Broadway with a tape recorder, asking them about their experiences in New York City, and that turned into a musical. So this is a very similar thing.
Yeah, it's very cool. With every person getting a song, does it have an accompanying monologue with it?
Yeah, so in the original, it did. And in mine, some of them still do, but then the ones that don't, it's been replaced by our local our workers that were interviewed. So oftentimes it is, let's just say it is the... So Rosie is in it. Rosie is the owner of Tony's Corner Deli here in Ridgefield, Connecticut. And she's a very well-known personality in Ridgefield. She makes my sandwich every morning and cup of coffee. And so we see Rosie in this fantastic video montage, and we hear this specific story that she is talking about. And then the actress on stage gives song or gives voice to what Rosie just talked about. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep, totally.
Yeah, so that's how it works. That's how it works in this production.
I don't remember all of the songs specifically from this soundtrack in my head, but I do remember that there was I loved in the original, there was a song sung in Spanish. Now, is that still in the show, or has that been replaced by the Lin-Manuel Miranda song? Or are they nothing similar at all?
Yeah, no. So that song, I'm trying to... I think that song was in the original and then not used again. I think that's what happened, and I'm not very familiar with that song.
Oh, okay.
But it is not in this version. Yep. There is one song called A Very Good Day, which does have some other language in it. It had some Spanish in it, and I actually changed that to an African language because I rewrote some of the lyrics, and I did that because the actress, fantastic New York actress that we have, is a black woman, and to me it didn't make sense to have her singing this part of this song in Spanish. And so I asked Stephen, would you mind if I change this to an African language? And he said, go for it. And so those lyrics changed as well. But the one song that I'm Googling as I'm speaking, I do see that song that you're talking about, but that is not in our version.
Yeah, it was, for some reason, it was the one that stuck out in my head. Is there a song from this soundtrack that you consider like the one everybody knows, you know, like from Oklahoma, It's Oklahoma? But I mean, there's a lot in that particular show. But for most soundtracks, there seems to be at least one prominent song that's like, yes, that's the one from that show. Is there one from Working that maybe more people would know, like the Man on the Street?
You know, there's a song that is sung like in a lot of people's cabaret shows, and I feel like a pop star recorded it too. It's called Just a Housewife. Do you know that song?
Off the top of my head, no, but it could be one of those that I know the song. I just don't know it by name.
Yeah, I feel like Just a Housewife is probably like sort of like the most popular song, just because people hear it, and oftentimes you're like, oh, what? Where's that song from? You know,
yeah.
But it's one of the songs from Working. I do think that if you hear the song The Mason, which James Taylor wrote, that you will say, oh my God, I know that song. That was on James Taylor's album, and he wrote it specifically for this show. So that's the thing about this show, is that like there's, I would say, out of the, I don't know, 16 songs that are in the show, that probably the regular general audience probably knows 5 or 6 of them. They just didn't know it was from the show.
Yeah, I really can't wait to see it, especially with this local spin you've been able to put on it, and with all the blessings from Stephen Schwartz. Now that this is a show of his working on it, will he be showing up to rehearsals to maybe have some input with you, or...
Our first day of rehearsal is Monday. The cast arrives Monday, and that's a full day of music rehearsals, teaching all the music. And then on Tuesday, we do what's called a sing-through of the score. So we learned all the music on Monday and some of the morning Tuesday. And then Stephen will join me Tuesday afternoon so that the cast will sing through the entire score for me and Stephen that day. And then he'll leave me alone for for a couple of weeks so I can stage the thing. And, you know, and there's no need for him to be there when I'm staging and choreographing and giving actor notes and, you know, all the technical stuff. And once we implement all the technical elements, which will be this video and the lights and the sound and the musicians and the turntable, we have a turntable here at ACT, then as we start doing run-throughs before the previews, Stephen will come to the run-throughs and give me, certainly note me then, and give me things to work on or to change.
It might be cool just for, you know, because Stephen is a local, a resident of Ridgefield, and you're putting on his show, and you guys are such good friends that just any average theater goers like myself, we just might happen to see him on the night we go to the show. You know, who knows? Uh-huh. Yeah, very cool.
Absolutely. You know, he lives 5 minutes down the road.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the show is, I'm going to read it right off of your website. Stephen Schwartz is Working, a musical running February 14th through March 10th. So it opens on Valentine's Day. Is that considered your preview period, like February 14th?
That's right. The 14th and 15th are our previews, and the actual opening of the show is that Saturday, which I think is the 16th.
It really sounds great, Daniel, and the fact that, you know, so often theaters are trying to figure out how do we market certain shows, how do we market certain musicals, you know, and often we try, theaters will try to find shows or try and market them like it's so relatable, you know, you're really going to, you know, you're really going to be able to feel this kind of musical. Working, most of us have to work, and it feels to me like these stories are going to be so absolutely relatable, perhaps more than any other musical out there. So
I think so. You know? I mean, this show honors the everyday worker, the working class person, and you're right. There's nothing else out there like this show. It's a very, very unique, special gem of a musical.
Yeah, very cool. It's going on at ACT of Connecticut. Log on to actofct.org. Get all the information about it, your tickets. And it's Stephen Schwartz's Working, a musical, February 14th through March 10th. And again, I've been telling everybody about what a cool venue you guys have down there and what an absolute pleasure it was to see the amazing production of Evita. And also, they are the winner of Broadway World's Regional Awards for Best of Equity Theater of the Year. I mean, they won. So, you know, you can't deny that you guys are already doing such great work. And congratulations.
That's great.
Yeah, congratulations, Daniel, and thank you very much.
Thank you for supporting us. I mean, it's people like you and your podcast and other people's interviews that helps get the word out. You know, we're a brand new theater, and marketing budgets are tight for new companies. And so it's really people like you, theater enthusiasts, and people that love theater that help us. So we thank you too.
Yes, it's a good partnership we have here. So, Daniel, break a leg with the show. I can't wait to get down and see it. And, you know, just have fun, man.
Thank you so much. Good talking to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
The Johnny O Show.
Doesn't that sound like a fantastic production? I really can't wait to get down and see it next week. The show is running now through March 10th, and once again, log on to actofct.org. Get all the information. Get your tickets right there. I'm not just excited to see this show because I've never seen a professional production of it, but I'm excited to get back to ACT of Connecticut and just enjoy myself. It is an absolutely beautiful venue, and the work down there so far has just been stellar, so can't wait. We'll catch you next time here on The Johnny O Show. Thanks so much for tuning in, and go see a show if you can. Have a great week, everyone.
It's Johnny O. It's Johnny O. It's the only Johnny O Show.